Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. So, you know, we've had a hell of a day with all of the various guests that we've had on regarding the tragic passing of Virginia. We've talked to people close to her. We've talked to researchers. And, of course, you know, one of our most trusted and like, I mean, Ryan Dawson's basically stayed at my house. He lives in Asia. He's come over here, stayed at my house. We're very close. And he has been researching Epstein for decades. And it's a double tragedy because his sight, he's gone blind in one eye already. He's losing the sight in the other one. This is really suspicious as well. You know, I don't know exactly how old he is. I think he looks around late 30s, around 40, something like that. He's a family man. He's got kids. So we're not able to have Ryan on, but Ryan has done a recording that he has posted on his X. So I'm going to play that recording, and then we could also look at the chapter in my book, Who Killed Epstein, that I've done with Ryan, just to get, so you can understand like the level of research he did into this case, because we've been collaborating with Ryan now for about 5 years. So Ryan's link to his ex, if you want to send him some love and support, the link to his ex, you know, as he goes through this with his eye, is at the top of the description box below this video if you're watching it on YouTube. So let's bring Ryan's recording in. And it's about 10, 15 minutes long. I listened to it before I came on just to make sure there was nothing that's going to get us in trouble. With YouTube, it does come a bit closer to mark, but I think you guys have really got to hear this. So let me just make it bigger. There we go. And I shall press play and we shall get on with this. So play. There we go. It does take a little bit to start playing before he comes on. About 15 minutes, it says it is. So hopefully you guys can hear it okay when it starts in a few seconds, which it should do. Let's see. There was a little bit of a gap.
Okay. I made this space a bit ago, and I don't know what happened. I can't really see my phone, so I probably pushed the wrong thing, and it only recorded for like 2 seconds. So I just started a new one. I was going to have a good half hour to let people come in, and oh well, it is what it is. So I'll let people come in now. Sad day. I learned about this last night, Korea time, Australia time. It took till morning to verify it, you know, how the internet is. Can't believe things like that, but anyway, I guess there's enough people in here. I'm just going to start explaining things. First off, I'm incensed and angry at all the people who just are flippantly saying she was murdered or suicided without any evidence of that. Please think before you write stuff. If you want to say that with a question mark, go ahead, but don't act like, ha-ha, suicided, just like Epstein. She has family. Think about the implications of that. If you say she was murdered, all the other victims are in a panic. They think they could be next. I've been talking to these women all day, trying to calm them down. Because, you know, half of Twitter is just convinced that they killed Virginia. It was a suicide. And I'll tell you how I know in a second. But all you need to know is you don't know what it was. So don't act like you do and quit saying she was killed. You are scaring the bejesus out of the other women. Full on panic. They think they're going to get Clinton. And they don't deserve that. They've been through enough. First thing I'm going to address is her kidney problems, because before she died, a bunch of people were accusing her of being a liar because she had a car accident with a bus and she was saying she had days to live. And people were like, oh, but the accident wasn't that bad. You're a liar. You're a liar. And, you know, Maxwell's little posse jumped all over that to try and discredit her. To be like, see, see, she lied about this. She must be lying about Andrew. She must be lying about everything. She didn't lie about anything. Her kidney issue had nothing to do with the accident, other than because she was in an accident and they checked her at the hospital, they discovered how bad her kidneys were. She already had an underlying issue with her kidneys, not from the physical crash, but discovered because of the crash. They told her, you have days to live if this isn't addressed. And that's what she was writing about. Days to confuse from the hospital. She just wanted to see her babies, her kids, three children. There's a post going around. I've seen it everywhere, clipped conveniently without the date, from her Instagram saying, I'll never kill myself, from 6 years ago. Great. Well, as recently as 3 weeks ago, she was saying, I'm ready to go. She was totally devastated. 6 years ago, she had not lost a 22-year-long marriage or three children. She'd been serial raped from the time she was 13 to 19, pretty much, 17. That leaves some psychological wounds, and she had built up a community with her Instagram, and she had built a new family, and that was her comfort zone, and that was taken away too. Her last post, two in a row, she put one, somebody that I used to know, it's a breakup song, and then a black screen, and the title was a broken heart emoji. Meaning death. The reason her kidneys were in the condition they were in is because she had been self-medicating. And I'll let it come out when it comes out, but you can put two and two together to what happened. But she did tragically, sadly, commit suicide. And that sucks. And she didn't deserve that. And she didn't deserve that pain. She didn't deserve to get raped over and over. But it is important to be accurate about this when you have other women out there who are afraid they're going to, are afraid to get out, leave their house. They're afraid they're going to get poisoned or get hit by a bus or they're going to be killed somehow. Let me make this simple for the simpletons. There is absolutely no reason for them to murder her and draw attention again to the Epstein case that they just got the attention off of after the whole Pam Bondi Epstein files debacle. No one had talked about that case for years. They mentioned the files, boom, it's all in the news. Then you have JFK and maybe a war with Iran, and they tried the pyramids and this teenager that got stabbed at a track meeting, anything, Katy Perry going to space, anything to get you to shut up about Epstein. The last thing they would do is murder the most prominent Epstein victim and get everybody's eyeballs back on the case. She was going through it. Trust me. And that's her personal business. I feel like I have to say a little bit, though, because you're frightening all these other girls. Just remember what she did. She went out at 41. It's tragic. She had a pretty shit life. Raped over and over again. She did make three children. Lost them. Lost them on her son's birthday. But she took them down. She took down Burnell. She took down Epstein. She took down Maxwell. the top three lieutenants in that ring. Sarah Kellen got away, but she got the other three. All jailed, two dead, one 20 years in jail. Sued Prince Andrew $16 million that the Queen probably had to pay. And she got closure for hundreds of other women. Not alone, but she was the main flagship that took them down. She did great damage to that pedophile ring. And they did a lot of damage to her. And she carried those scars. You can't just walk away from something like that and be normal. And she was hurt. And she was hurt by some other things that were going on in her life. And there was nobody there for her. They thought, oh, you got millions of dollars from these lawsuits, you're fine. That doesn't matter. That's not going to fix anything inside. But please stop flippantly saying, like it's a meme, she didn't kill herself, Epstein didn't kill herself, neither Virginia. Stop it. She did. And it's horrible. But that's what she chose to do. She was in a lot of pain. Her body was barely making it anyway. A little bit too much self-medication. All right. I don't even want to argue with anybody. Like, you're wrong. I'm right. I know this shit. I knew her situation. It's sad. It's tragic. But you have to admit what it is. You're scaring all the other victims. Her family knows. And when they want to say what she did, they can. It's not for me to say. But she took her own life. 100%. I hate it, but I know, look, honor her, what she did. Don't lie about her life. Don't lie about her death. Don't lie about her car accident thing. That was the last, like, tabloid bullshit she had to deal with on top of the other things she was going through. I'm sure Glenn Maxwell is having a little jail party right now. She got to outlive her. But Burnell didn't, and Epstein didn't. And they were the ones that were. Burnell was drugging and raping girls, and everybody knows what Epstein did. And Melissa's out, folks. Quit asking or waiting for the government to tell on itself. We have the client list. We have at least 55 names of it. I don't know what you're waiting for. You're waiting for, like, you don't accept it unless the authority tells you. Okay. Well, nothing will come of it. Israel's murdering babies every day without consequence. If that doesn't move the needle, like murdering needle, like there is no political solution in the United States. They're just, AIPAC owns everybody. They got another ring right now in Massachusetts, the new Epstein. And there's nowhere to go with the information. Tucker gonna act like he cares? Well, then why hasn't he talked to me? Can't play stupid. They know. They don't care. They don't. I mean, it's a tragic and sad day. But two Israelis got red triangle today, so something good happened.
All right, so there you have it. We have got Ryan's opinion on the death of Virginia, and he's been researching the case for 2 decades. We've had a variety of viewpoints on the channel today, so take whatever from these viewpoints what you will. Now, people are asking personally, what is my theory of what's happened? And I think that so much pressure has been applied to Virginia that what has happened is, it's complex, but it's probably got an element of pharmacide People were asking about parallels in the Marilyn Monroe situation. If she was getting medically treated and the medical treatment has done her kidneys in, and this medical treatment came about because of her abuse, and then her immune system was damaged because of all the stress she was put under by people on Prince Andrew's side, like, you know, Lady Victoria Hervey, etc. So I saw people pushing back, you know, against Ryan, saying that she'd unalived herself and stopped saying she was killed. But I think both are true. I think people can be unalived because pressure is put on them by people who want them dead. And, you know, Beverly today talked about having a kill switch. She was a survivor of Savile. And she's going to come back on tomorrow to do a whole interview about whether Virginia had a kill switch, what a kill switch is, how kill switches work, that kind of thing. And if you can put a sequence of events in motion to cause someone to unalive themselves, then have they just purely unalived themselves, or were they murdered? This is how complex it is, and this is how sneaky they are, and this is how they get away with things, because they create such a gray area of culpability. If the person unalives themselves, then doctor says they unalived themselves, no further investigation. So it's the cleanest way to off someone without getting investigated. So, you know, what we've done today is just try and bring you a variety of viewpoints and for you guys to draw your own conclusions from the people we have spoke to. We spoke to Steeples, we spoke to Beverly, we spoke to Kirby Summers, we spoke to Ryan Dawson, we spoke to Paula M. Ron had his own theory when he did his live with Paula M. So, and the internet right now is just running wild with so many different theories. And if you look at the history of the CIA and the ways they've taken things, people out, to leave absolutely no suspicion, fast-acting cancer. You know, Ryan Dawson has got fast-acting blindness right now. It's just come out of the blue. He's lost sight in one eye. He's had an operation. He's losing the sight in the second eye. And he said he can't do any more interviews. How suspicious is that? That's just insane that this has all happened at the same time that this has been going on with Virginia, when, you know, they're pushing for the release of the Epstein list. And the Pam Bondi situation, the PRBS they did, all the people coming out with the folders, reading the same old crap that we've known for years. And like I said, Ryan's flown out here. I've helped Ryan by buying things from his store. We've got on our walls the Epstein map. We've got on our walls the Biden crime family map. And his research is phenomenal. And I think part of what he was saying was to try and help calm down other survivors. You know, I've reached out to the pharmacists today. I've reached out to Juliet Bryant. She's contacted me back, and she was happy that I was sending her loving vibes, because she's feeling really down. Of course, all the survivors right now are re-traumatized by what's happened today. So, in honor of Ryan and the fact that he can't come on, you know what, Michelle, I've not asked Ryan if he thinks his blindness is suspicious. I think he's traumatized it by himself. I would. How frightening is it to be, you know, losing your sight? So I didn't want to go down that road with him, because he's getting medical treatment, and I'm hoping he's in the highest spirits possible to try and get through this and get his sight back, because that's really scary to be losing your sight at such a young age. He's got to be in what, his late 30s? He's got little kids? That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But if you look at all the ways the CIA tried to assassinate Castro, you Google that, if you read any books on it, they've got all kinds of things they can contaminate and affect you with. And it's really scary. And you know, a lot of these communities, Epstein community, a lot of them fell out, just like the Diddy community fell out, just like the Scientology community fell out. But we have been like, you know, the platform that tries to keep the peace between everyone and welcomes everybody on and be the forever family. If they fall out, if people fall out with us, we don't subsequently fall out with them. We're always here for them to come back and give their viewpoints. But some people have been really solid with us and stayed with us for years, like Matthew Steeples, like Kirby Summers, and like Ryan Dawson. And you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Because they've put hours and hours of their lives into coming on this platform to educate us with their knowledge. And I have learned so much. So in honor of Ryan Dawson, then, I'm going to read the chapter from my book, Who Killed Epstein? That is the Ryan Dawson chapter. And if you guys are interested in my books, the links are in the description box. You know, I never push anything, but it does help support my activism. If you guys are interested in, let me just make this a bit bigger and let me see. Yeah, okay. So I've written 17 books actually. And for some reason, my Jimmy Savile, Untouchable Jimmy Savile book has just gone, like really, the sales are surging right now with that one. For some reason, just in the last month, I'm not sure why. But I've got my Who Killed Epstein? And I've also got Elite Predators, from Mountbatten and Savile to Epstein and Maxwell. And I've also got a series of books about the Clinton crime family. One of my favorites that I wrote was Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies. And I also wrote a book about Barry Seal as well. Anyway, chapter 14 in Who Killed Epstein, the title is Ryan Dawson, the man who researched Epstein for 13 years. And that this book came out about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So closer to 20 years now. So here's what Ryan told me. I introduced Ryan as an independent researcher, journalist, and the author of The Separation of Business and State. He's a regular guest on my channel and has produced an extremely detailed Epstein map linking the key figures, which I now have framed on my wall. This comes from one of our interviews we did that was banned, so I might have to euphemize some of the terminology. What got you interested in Epstein in 2007? So Ryan said, him being arrested, had people on my forum in the Florida area who were talking about it. And honestly, when, I don't remember if it was before or after he got arrested, I'd have to go back and look. But there were, this is not the only PDF ring. There were the Dream Boys. And before that, there was the Finders Cult. And a lot of this happens, sadly enough. I mean, even at wartime, Abu Ghraib and others, they are tortured in prisons, and DynaCorp and even Blackwater, they get involved in the human transportation, and states get involved in this, Saudi Arabia and Israel in particular, which will end up very deeply involved with Jeffrey too. And so it's hard for me when I hear a claim, is this somebody seeking attention or is this real? Because it was so bizarre what was going on. And you see something on the internet forum and I'm like, why are you telling me? Why don't you tell the police or something? I was so naive, right? But why aren't you going to the authorities? And the problem is they're paid off, or they're the ones doing it. Yeah, as we know, the Florida cops, Jeffrey basically owned them, didn't he? He was in the stockade. He wasn't even in the main jail. They were bodyguarding him, the sheriff's deputies, and putting his phone calls through to people like Mendelsohn here in the Labour Party in the UK. All right, back to Ryan. And so we talked about Jeffrey. We were talking about his cohorts. We talked a lot about Maxwell's father and stealing the Promise software. They do a lot of digging into the Israelis, the mafia, as you do. And so you see these webs, and I'm not shy from conspiracy I don't dabble with the Jones type variety, what we call the Alex Jones variety. That's not my cup of tea. But Eric Weinstein, that's more the type of conspiracies that I dig into. But I'm still very angry about it. And I think a lot of people are interested in this story and want to know what happened, because this is a lot deeper than just some wealthy guy who was a perv. This was an intelligence operation, and we have evidence that it was an intelligence operation, and we know the players, and there are still people who could be subpoenaed. We know where Dershowitz is. We know where Prince Andrew is. And can you imagine how with all this coming back in the headlines right now, how Prince Andrew must be feeling. All right, so the next thing I said to Ryan, so you talked about the transfer of nuclear tech and knowledge to Israel, and Robert Maxwell was pushing the promised software all over the world, selling a multiple of what the other peddlers were selling. How big was his role then in that transfer of knowledge? And this is setting the stage for, you know, Robert Maxwell was running this empire. Glenn comes in, his favorite kid, names his yacht after her. How she's indoctrinated into this intelligence Mossad world. And Epstein coming into the fold, as our interview of Ari Ben-Menashe, former Israeli intelligence. We had a video with him up that was banned. I have to see if I can get that one back up, maybe edit a few little things here and there. Really interesting in the context of what's happening here. So what Ryan says is, yeah, he comes a little after the Sonneborn group, talking about Robert Maxwell, but it's an identical way of financing, the same way they originally made a group with Rudolf Sonneborn in New York in 1945 to procure weapons for the future. Haganah was stealing weapons from all over the world, but especially in the US, because the US had the most weapons. They didn't have any cities destroyed in World War II. One base in Hawaii, which actually wasn't part of the US yet, but they had the bomb, and the goal was, we're going to get the bomb. And I just brought that up to show the scale of it. You can't get a story out of the most powerful weapon in the world being stolen, and the US still won't admit that, not officially. They won't admit that Israel has nuclear weapons, even though Mordechai Vanunu went and took pictures of the warheads and showed at that time they already had hundreds of them. But you're right, Robert Maxwell's in the same clique with some of the scientists, Zalman, Shapiro, and so on, who are part of the tail end of the weapons theft, which I guess is most well known for the theft they did out of Pennsylvania, where Heli Trading Company, for example, is the largest Israeli arms dealer. Arnon Milkan admits it on a stage, by the way. Nothing happens to him. The buyer side of this was who was taking Krypton triggers, which is something you need in the development of nuclear warheads. None other than Benjamin Netanyahu, who's now prime minister. When it comes to Epstein, he's not unfamiliar with prime ministers or chief heads of the Mossad, either, like Ehud Barak. But that's very important, because Ehud Barak helped shelter other PDFs, other incidences, and also President Kastav. And all right, so he hammers these political figures for quite a bit, and then he brings Wexner into it. So when people are wondering, why did this story die? How come there were all these questions and then it went away? They got down about as deep as Leslie Wexner and then zip. The Wexner Foundation was actually used to illegally launder money to Ehud Barak's coffers. This was the chief of the Mossad. And while he is for the Mossad, he is the chairman of the board for the Carbine Group, which used to be called Reporti, which Jeffrey helped to create. And so did Peter Thiel, who is one of the principal founders of PayPal. Carbine is kind of Israel's Blackwater, a security front 9/11 response thing. And Eric Prince gets involved in that as well. He's changed the name. I think it went from Blackwater to XZ. And then it was Academy. And they had another name. And now I think it's called Frontier Secure Services Group or something. And they're making Blackwater China as we speak. So these people have been caught in our word rings, as has DynCorp. It isn't anything new as far as governments covering up the PDFs, but a lot of Wexner's group for the mega donors, the Bronfman family, for example, having deep ties to organized crime, as well as the Nixium cult, caught our wording women and branding people. Claire and Sarah Bronfman actually already admitted transporting young girls to Nixium, and Edgar Bronfman, seen in the President of the World, and Charles Bronfman, of course, and he details a load of societies that they are connected to. And that is their purpose, to set up a parasitic relationship inside the US and Canada to steal technology, because that's what Epstein was doing. He was a blackmail and spy operation, and it's been done many times before. If I had many, many hours, I could go all the way from the 40s to now, walking through it. I have taken a map starting from about the 80s, just when Epstein got involved, onward. But they are always stealing technology and setting up honey traps. And then he gets into some more of the high up political figures. And let me scroll down a bit. All right, let's go back to Robert Maxwell and Epstein's entry into the intelligence community. If you've seen the statements by Ari Ben-Menashe. Yes, Ari Ben-Menashe, he was the agent who spent time at MCC, the same prison as Epstein was unalived. He's saying that when Ghislaine and Jeffrey started to go out, it was Robert Maxwell who brought Jeffrey into the fold. Do you agree? So Ryan says, what they tried to do at first with Jeffrey, because Robert was more into diverting illegal arms, and at the time they were working, I believe it was with Douglas Lease in a bid, because the Americans had shafted Saudi Arabia on a contract for fighter jets, and the British stepped in. I think it was the Tornadoes. But basically, Jeffrey wasn't very good at it. And you can see his early Ponzi scheme with the reinsurance company with Stephen Hoffenberg. Oh, people asked about other people who've disappeared, you know, around Jeffrey unalive. Stephen Hoffenberg, we were about to get him on the channel as well to talk about his criminal activities with Jeffrey, and he was unalive. They knew John Lehman, who was on the 9/11 commission, by the way. They'd worked with Douglas Leaf and tried to get Jeffrey in on this. I mean, it's insider trading with his quasi-legal and legal arms trade, but he just didn't know what he was doing. They said he was a brilliant mind, and others said, no, this guy just was a brilliant con man. I lean more towards the brilliant con man than any kind of whiz kid hedge fund manager or arms dealer stockbroking. The guy found his niche setting up honey traps and getting young girls. Apparently he had some charm, and they funded him the money. I mean, Wexner gave him a house. He owned a mansion in New York, like Lionel just talked about, the most expensive house there was. And he figured out with Jean-Luc Brunel and MC2 Modeling and other modeling agencies in the United States that rather than the traditional feeding ground of orphanages or putting up false ads in East Europe and taking advantage of the desperate situation there after the collapse of the Soviet Union, that's how they got a lot of young girls who wouldn't be known, who were attractive, that they could use in the rings. All right, so that is a taste of the chapter with Ryan. And I might do some more of this tomorrow, folks, but I've got to get running for now. So, you know, if you do want to support my activism, that's come from the book Who Killed Epstein, and the links are in the description box, as are the links for my other 17 books. Beverly's going to come back on tomorrow to talk about the kill switch, Virginia possibly being kill switched, and then Ron's back in the evening. I think he's trying to get John Wedger on and some other people, and we're going to be continuing with this subject. So thank you for tuning in, folks. It's been a very long day. It's been a traumatic day. You know, RIP Virginia. Yeah, there we go. Let's see. You're the only reason this is coming to light. So let's keep her spirit going. Let's keep carrying that torch and shining a light and keeping the activism and the research going and keeping the pressure on. In honor of Virginia, that's what matters the most, because her spirit is looking down upon us right now. She outlived Jeffrey. She outlived Jean-Luc Brunel. Ghislaine is in prison, and she did a hell of a job, you know, inspiring all of the other survivors to come forward and take these bastards down. All right, guys, much love. Take care, we're in the world.